This is Judith Conrad Radio, presenting extraordinary visionary experts in health, wealth, business, and manifesting your dreams come true. And now, here's your host, Judith Conrad, starting your day with the good news.
Well, here it is. It's the good news day. Well, then, isn't every day a good news day? We've got a couple of powerhouse women here in this office, and one was here a couple weeks ago, and that is K.L. Wells, or Kathy. And we have Val, who was with me last Thursday. And, you know, we have no topic. We're just going to let it evolve. And for all of those people listening out there, you can jump in and join in the conversation anytime you want. You are welcome. Now, yesterday, I invited people to call in. And you know what? I had the greatest time talking to myself, explaining about fluoride crystals. And you know what I got is I think a lot of you like crystals. And you might enjoy me explaining or getting an expert in crystals to come on the program and just talking about it. Because crystals, you know, that's how the radio, crystals, hello, that's how we move that energy on the radio. Crystals. Well, today before I get ready to go and to get my guests in here, I have a couple of announcements. For those people who have nothing to do tonight, well, I would plan on doing that. That is the Affair of the Heart in Eugene, Oregon. It is at the fairgrounds. You will see a couple thousand women, maybe more, at the fairgrounds, and there will be booths, and everything is emphasizing information for women, whether it's health, whether it's well-being, finances. There are many, many booths. So I expect to see you there. If you see me there, Judith Conrad, come up and say hello. Give me a hug. If not, oh well, I won't get a hug. I'll cry. And then in a couple weeks, February 21st, from 5 to 9 at the Eugene Downtown Hilton, there will be Extravaganza. That's a relaxed monthly networking event, and that will always be on the third Tuesday. This is the fourth birthday bash. Oh, I hope I get to see you there. Again, I want a hug. If I don't get a hug, oh well, I might cry. Okay, maybe not. Okay, so let's look. I always let spirit tell me what's the story, what we're going to be doing. So I'd like to talk about relationships. Just a second here. I want to make sure I can see if anyone calls. And I know Seth is going to pipe in if there's someone calling. This is about relationships. And because we have two wonderful women here and myself a woman, we're going to be talking about relationships. And I think Val and I talked about that a little bit last time, too. Powerful women and why Kathy goes by K.L. Wells instead of Kathy now. That's powerful. And I got set straight why it was. And I understood. Okay, so if you're in a relationship, and who isn't, requires some work. Yeah, it doesn't just happen. I mean, you might fall in love and have all that chemistry going on, but then it takes some work. Being honest, open communication. That's number one. Number two, most of the time you get what you put in. So if you put in love, you're going to get love. If you put in being nasty, you're probably going to get that right back. Very simple. What goes in comes out. Number three, you shouldn't have to fight for a spot in someone's life. Yeah. You either are or you aren't. And if you have to make sure that you're dotting your I's, crossing your T's to be in a relationship, it probably isn't too healthy. Number four, there's a purpose for everyone you meet. Oh, isn't that exciting? So when I go to both of these events, I'm going to make sure I look. I'm going to look in people's eyes and see, are you the one I'm looking for? We did that, an exercise with Jean Houston one time. That there's a God in everyone. Are you God? We had to go around and stand in front of someone. Are you God? And there was one person who was the God. And if you stood in front of them and you said, are you God? And they said, yes, you got to sit down. And people kept searching and searching and searching. And the whole exercise was about finding the God within and just being in communication. Are you God? But you don't go up and ask people like that. Unless you've been in the class. All right. Number five. We all change, and that's okay. And, you know, we're not the same as we were when we were 15. Thank goodness. So when we change, you know, share that with your partner. Number six, you're in full control of your own happiness. No one else is going to make you happy. When you get up in the morning, you can be, in any kind of mood you decide. You jump out of bed and say, oh, yeah, the day's ready to go. So you're creating your own happiness. Or you can just, well, not everyone is a morning person. You may get out and just take your time with your coffee and all of that. Number seven, forgiving others helps you. Because if you're carrying around, what you did to me is not okay, then you get into that rut. So forgive as many times as you can. I know people who carry whatever. You did this to me 19 years ago, and I'll never forgive you. Well, guess what? You've had 19 years of carrying that, and who's suffering more? You. So please, let it go. I'll hug you if you will. All right. Number eight, you can't change people. They can only change themselves. And I don't know, women seem, well, I guess men are sometimes like that too. But I have noticed a lot of women, oh, they're going to change the guy that they're with. Oh, by the time we've been married for 20 years, he's going to be like this and this. Yeah, sure. Or whoever you're married to. You can't change them. If they don't want to change, they won't. Number nine, heated arguments are a waste of time. Yeah, I mean, what good is it going? It gets your blood pressure up and give yourself time to calm down. Take time out. Time out. I remember when my mom would send my brother to one corner and me to the other corner because we were fighting. Well, kids fight. Well, adults fight too. And sometimes I'm right and you're wrong. I'm right. And yeah, guess what you get? Goes right back to that forgiveness. If you can't forgive, because maybe you could listen to another point of view. Number 10, you're better off without some people. Yeah, some people are just not your tribe. Now, you know, when I say it, they're not your tribe, that means that they have different ways of thinking. They may be of another culture. But these people, you know, sometimes people agree to be disagreeable. I don't care what. Well, to be around that kind of a person is very difficult. And it will push you in the wrong direction if you have to compromise, always compromise, backpedaling, kissing their boots. I don't want that. Can't hug you with that. Number 11, small gestures of kindness go a long way. Small. It doesn't have to be huge. Maybe smiling at someone. It may spark up their life. Be aware that you may say something, oh, what a great blouse. And it was given to them by someone they really hated, and they're wearing it because that person wanted you to wear it. So you might want to stay away from that. Number 12, even the best relationships don't last forever. People don't live forever. And sometimes the contract is up. When you've been married, I know this couple, my parents, bragging that they've been married for 50 years. Well, 5 minutes would have been fine. You know, they just didn't get along. They were opposites. And, you know, to brag about they've been together, both being miserable, that, you know, nothing to brag about. Just because that's the old school. But it also isn't that you get a divorce or separate just because something isn't working for you. Nice group of combinations. This came from Josh, L-I-B-A, Liba, or Liba. I always like to take things from the internet, and I always give them credit. So if you're interested in having a copy of that, you know, that it's really great, because I just paraphrased some of the captions that were there. What do you think? You going to call in and give me a comment on that? I'll give you a hug. It's going to be an air hug, but I'm going to send you that air hug anyway. I love you, and I love having this radio program. I get to communicate. And, you know, a lot of times I know you're listening on the archives, which is wonderful. You know, the archives, like people can look at the name and they can say, I think, or a topic, and then they go and listen to the program. Perfect. Everything is perfect. I never worry how many people listen. If I did, I don't think so. All right, I'm going to bring in now my guests. Normally I talk for a half hour, but not today because they have too much to talk about. Actually, the next time I have guests in my office here, I'm going to make sure that we record everything and then play it back, because the communication we had before was so exciting. I said, stop, because you're doing the whole program. So we're going to start out by, who wants to be first?
KL, go for it.
KL, all right, grab that microphone.
All right, here we go.
So KL, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and because I know you've been on before, but we have new listeners.
Great, awesome. I am relatively new to the Eugene area, now about 6 months. And I started a company here called Networking Power.
Yeah.
So I founded it and I'm the CEO. And it's all about teaching people how to take the time that they spend networking out in the community and all, and having significant results with that time in terms of their income, creating their, as you say, tribe, their community, building relationships that network across all kinds of sectors, and creating great impact in the community.
Yes, and I can vouch for that, because you were on the program. I can't remember the date, but you can check the archives for K.L. Wells. I probably put Kathy at that time. And she interviewed me the whole time. And as she did, she taught everyone listening how to do it.
It was awesome.
It really was. And you pulled out things from me that I hadn't shared for a long time.
That's the power of it.
Yeah.
You know, I find that when you show up with questions that are new for people, and they get to, it's not their answers right on tip of their Rolodex,
right, you know,
that they actually have to think about it. And when you show up and you ask them questions that you're immensely curious to know the answer, almost like this little kid sitting on the end of the chair,
right,
waiting for a story.
Yeah.
And so it opens up worlds for the person who's asking the questions and for the person who's answering the questions.
Right.
So I lots of times have people say, I've never been asked that question before, or I've never told anybody that before.
Right.
Which is a very sweet place to be in.
I was explaining to a lady who's going to be in one of your classes. She just moved here in November. And we just connected through a mutual friend up in Washington. And I said, it's not just going for coffee.
No.
Because you chit-chat at coffee.
Right.
And this is dedicated, definite questions that you sit and you let the conversation evolve.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, for me personally, and that's what I bring to this work, is what's important to me is to understand what inspires that person who's sitting in front of me.
Right.
You know, what is the heart of that person sitting in front of me? And so when you step into a conversation from that place, then amazing things show up. I mean, it's a gift.
Yes.
When you can follow the dancing eyes, you know, when somebody's eyes are dancing, you know that you've hit that place of inspiration. That's just an amazing place to be. And you can just, once you've discovered that part in that conversation, then you just keep following the threads of that inspiration. And most people don't have these kinds of conversations.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I mean, at least in my experience, when I'm out and about and I'm at a networking event, people are, so, for the most part, very business oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll ask you about your business and what it is you're doing and yada, yada, yada. But they're not really all that interested in who I am. And I am much richer behind my business than anything else. And so that's the people, I want to get to know people on that front first.
Yes.
So
I won't do business with someone that I haven't really developed a good relationship to find out whether they're part of my tribe, whether I want to hang out with them.
Right.
As a coaching client, I mean, if I'm not in agreement with who that person is, so I want to find, that's why I'm going to be doing more and more one-on-ones to find out whether I want to work with you. I'm going to interview.
There you go.
I'm going to select.
Yeah. Sifting and sorting. And we've talked about this before, where I actually have a list of qualities and characteristics of the people that I want to do business with, that I want to hang out with. Because, you know, whoever you hang out with, you become.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So you want to be very choiceful about who you choose to hang out with.
I was at the mall this last weekend.
Were you hanging out at the mall?
No. I actually had a booth at a business expo, Smarty Pants. That was Val. That was Val Stillwell getting her 250 cents worth in there. That was $5. Yeah, and I just, you know, my target market wasn't the folks going up and down the, you know, shopping or going wherever. They were the people who had booths. That's the people I was really targeting. But I watched, and I said, are these people my tribe?
Mm-hmm. Interesting, yeah.
And I could see that they could have been, because until you get to know that person,
right,
there's judgment.
There's always that first impression.
Yeah.
That's the key. Anytime you make that initial impression, that's the key. And it was really interesting. I'm going to diverge a little bit, but because this took place at a conversation that KL and I had yesterday, we met four very powerful women around a table yesterday. They were specifically invited to have a conversation with us. One of the women, after we all seated ourselves, happened to mention that she noticed the handshake of every woman in there.
Really?
And that was one of her first decisions that said she is in a room with the right people, with the powerful people. And that first impression wasn't how we looked, it was how I shook her hand.
Mm-hmm. And were the handshakes strong?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's for me, when I meet somebody and if I shake their hand and if I get a limp fish or soggy little raggy thing,
yeah,
I immediately start cataloging how I'm going to talk with them,
yeah,
how I'm going to speak. Yeah. Sometimes I try to limit the volume. Sometimes I try to curb the words, however. But a handshake will open that first impression.
That's right. Well, for those people out there listening, if you'd like to call in, looks like we have Suzanne.
Yes.
Susanna from Oregon. Okay, let's bring in Susanna. Hello, Susanna.
Hi, how are you?
Just fine. So what are your insights from what we've been talking about on the radio?
Well, it's interesting because I'm hearing two different conversations from the radio station itself and here on the phone.
Oh, you always turn your radio down or your the computer down so that you can hear just what's coming through your headphones, or what you can't have both of them going on because they're at different speeds, timing.
That's why we couldn't hear them.
Right. Okay, Susanna, do you have a question for any of the three of us?
I was a little bit confused. I was hearing two different conversations, it seemed like.
Yeah, yeah. So do you have a question for any one of us?
Well, I was fascinated by your 12 things that you listed off the top that you had gotten online. Those were some very good points.
Aren't they, though?
Was there a particular point that really struck you?
That was KL.
I think that was that everyone we meet is important. I thought that was a very good one because we forget that we're always focused on the goals that we're searching for when we're meeting people, and we forget that people in general bring gifts to our lives no matter what they are or for either how long or how short those durations are.
Great, great.
Oh, absolutely. You know, KL has a wonderful statement that she's actually becoming well-known for because it changes the lives. But the question that she wakes up with every morning and inspires hopefully many of us out there to ask the same question is, who will we meet today that will change our lives? So that you start your day full of possibilities.
Nice.
Exactly.
That was Val, by the way. Yes, who will I meet today that will change my life and their lives too? Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay, and any other ones that you'd any comments that you'd like to make here on the radio?
I have Dawn here with me. We's the co-author. We both wrote our book, The Keys of the Kingdom, and it deals with kind of the same concepts as you. I'll give him a turn to see his thoughts.
Great. Hello, Don.
Hi, Judith. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Great. And you've been, both of you have been listening to the program, and guess what? They're coming to find out if they can have a radio program. Isn't that exciting?
Cool.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right, so your comment, Don.
Talking with you, I think this is a perfect venue because I've always been told I have the perfect face for radio.
I tell a lot.
We see that.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was very...
Did you step into it? Okay, I'd like to have your feedback.
I thought it was very appropriate and very interesting that you're having this show on relationships because it's such an important thing that we actually put a chapter in our book about it.
Really?
My feelings are, my feelings on the subject is that we are made for relationships, that we need relationships in our life to be complete. And I agree with Susanna. One of those most important things is always being open to whoever we meet, because even if that person is somebody that somebody else may look upon as just a lowly whatever, dishwasher, janitor at the mall, those people can truly touch our lives sometimes in ways that we don't even understand how that might come about. And we can't dismiss people just because they may be below our station or something like that. It's important just to realize that everyone is a person of worth and everyone can have an incredible, incredible impact on our life if we just let them do that.
Well, I think the folks at the mall really impacted me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I made the comment. Not to judge them, it's just that I still have that energy of the folks there that were walking by. They didn't stop to look at the booths. They just went right straight past. And I just keep thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I had been out there and could have stopped a couple of them. Most of them had kids, they're probably going to the movies. But I thought, if I got out there and stopped them, I wonder what their story would have been.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, KL and Val both deal with what's your story.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I went in a business course I took, the question was, what's your wow?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, when I first got to the weekend, I said, what's that question about? And then I heard people answering. The wow is what, like you say, KL, what inspires me?
Mm-hmm. But, when we stop and think about it, how often does somebody ask us what our story is?
Right.
And, what a great gift. What a great gift that you can give someone by asking what their story is and being a pair of ears mm-hmm. and a soul that will listen.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure. Go ahead, Don.
If I may interject, we do a great disservice when we don't give our story. One of the things that drives me crazy is when we ask somebody, how are you? And we mean that sincerely. And the answer we get back so often, and I'm sure you've got this too, is fine. Well, I've learned along the way that fine actually means fickle, insecure, naive, and emotional.
Oh, how insightful of you, Don. Right on, right on.
And of course, I'm not suggesting, that we dump our life story on everybody who just casually asks how we are. But sometimes people really do want to know our story. And we do a disservice when we look down upon our own story and think that it's not significant enough to have an impact on somebody else.
That's perfect.
Going back to the mall, I had a conversation the other day with somebody who struck up a conversation with one of the ladies that cleans the mall on a daily basis. And that's somebody that a lot of people would look down on or just ignore. And she said when she really got to talk to this lady and this lady shared her story, it was just an incredible, touching story of how she was literally picking herself up by her own boot heels to make something better out of her life. Stories can be wonderfully touching and impacting.
For me personally, I get energized. I have this big bubbly smile, and so for me, I'm always smiling, saying hello to everybody who walks my path, or eyes contact. So I get into a lot of conversations in public settings with people, and I just get energized and rejuvenated when I get into a conversation and I can leave a positive thought or leave them with a smile or when they, or whatever the conversation is. It's just empowering. And it's amazing when you meet people and you just give them that smile and that joy and even that satisfaction of saying their name back to them when they say it to you or reading their name tag. People just glow. It's like we've become so computerized that we forgot that human contact is so necessary for us to thrive.
Yeah, but what you know, go ahead.
There you are.
I so agree with you about actually disconnecting from each other, and we are becoming digitally distant just because we plug in our headphones, we're involved in our own little world. I don't know how many times I've walked down an aisle to only pass somebody who has a mobile phone stuck to their ear or they're texting something. I see mothers and daughters shopping together, and I'm so pleased to see that option, but quite often I'll see the daughter with her thumbs all over texting, and there's no conversation between the mother or the parent and the child. And so I often wonder, at what point do they build the relationship, and at what point do they accept the fact that they're just together, but there's really not a relationship being built? So I'm seeing some discord and disconnect with technology. However, I am seeing a connection with technology that allows us to reach across geographical boundaries so that if we're not there, we still can be there and in the presence. So it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, and this is KL, and I'd like to say something a little bit about the notion of a number of years ago I did a seminar on I See You.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the power completely present for people. In that I see your soul. I see the fullness and the extraordinariness that is before me in who you are. And honestly, it was fascinating because it was an open space, so people could sign up to do it or not. And for the most part, the people that signed up to do it stayed. But it requires an intimacy and a vulnerability to be in that space. And there was one woman in particular that I was fascinated by her, and about 3/4 of the way into this whole conversation, she left because it got too close for her. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. My personal belief is that we all are hungry to be seen.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
It's interesting.
Write that down.
The Zulu culture. And pardon me, I can't remember the exact Zulu language, but the Zulu culture has a greeting that can basically translate it, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
And the return greeting is, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
But within the Zulu language, there's a deeper meaning, a meaning that is almost goes so far as to say, I was not here until you saw me, that you're seeing me brought me into existence. It's such an interesting concept to me that
they
grasp that concept, that it's only in relationship that we exist.
Exactly. The whole notion that unless observed, nothing exists. That's beautiful.
So are you saying that if a tree falls and you're not around to hear it, it doesn't make a sound?
That's a question we could debate, or that's another debate.
Which
came first, the chicken or the egg? Huh? Right.
Yeah.
Well, Dawn and Suzanne, I just want to say thank you for calling in. You have added so much depth to the program, and I look forward to meeting with you again and very soon. And I know you're going to do very, very well. Okay.
I'm excited enjoying your talk show today too. So thanks for inviting us to join you.
You bet. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
And we're sending air kisses, air hugs.
air hugs.
No kisses? Oh, darn. Well, one of the things that we like to do here on the program is to set the tone with our cards.
Yay!
I love
this part.
And you know, some people they say, I just assume you not use those. And I said, well, short interview. him. I get to do it.
Yeah.
And so I only invite people that are in alignment with me. But then everyone does, again, without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I to judge if they don't like the tarot cards?
Right. Just have fun with it.
Just have fun with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it could be a collage. Like I'm doing this collage with the... you guys have to come. I must have you in the class. It you know, where you pull, you know...
The vision board.
The vision board. And it's just so exciting when...
I live with vision boards.
Yeah.
I have one every year.
Yeah, well, and these cards are very much like that. When when Freda Harris painted these things, and then Crowley created, you know, that went into these beautiful cards, and then the symbols, we get to look at the symbols, and it's like... When we were just talking about people, you know, every person has something for us or not. I mean, we can, you know, that wasn't a very kind way of interacting, you know, but it was something for you. You know, when young children are discovering their communication skills, I didn't like the way that conversation with the interaction. And so someone wise would say, well, what did you get out of that? Yeah.
What was the gift in that?
Yeah. What was the gift in that? All right. So each one of you take two cards. And for those people out there, because we're going to have six cards, and you put them face down, by the way, you get to pick up any number of these, and of course, they're all for you. Think of a situation. Well, how is this going to turn out? Wonder what this... Oh, don't forget me too. There's one. I don't want that one. Here we go. Over here. Here. Yay, on my brand new desk.
On your brand new desk.
I love my desk. I made up my mind. I got clear what I wanted. I walked in into the place, and within an hour, it was sitting in my office. That's how fast I operate.
You manifest well.
All right, so for those people out there listening, I always like to engage the conversation with you and so that we can make it personal. Pick, we have six cards, and we're going to do a round robin here, and one of us is going to start. Do you want to pick KL, or do you want to pick Val, or do you want to pick Judith? Each one is going to have cards that are valuable. So you might want to get your paper and pencil. And if you're driving, of course, do not drive and write and do this. All right. You picked your person. Okay. I'm going to go with, well, of course, I'm going to go with my own cards.
Mm-hmm.
And Val's going to go with hers. And KL is going to go with hers. But those people out there may say, well, I want to go every other one, which is fine. You can pick any way you want. Or you may say, I'm going to wait and find out what she says. Otherwise, I'm oh, well.
Selective carding.
Yes. Remember, every piece of information that comes is for you. All right, who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay, first card. Roll it over.
Okay,
the first one. Major Arcana, and that is the Tower card. It is a Mars card, which is a lot of disruption. And I'm going to have you turn around, look at the card. There you go.
Okay.
On the bottom, there's a Chinese dragon, and we are in the year of the dragon. So there's some fiery elements going on in whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's relationship, or maybe it isn't. I don't know.
You do.
I'm not telling. And at the very top is this eye of Horus. And it is the vision that overrides and governs the upheaval that is involved in everything that we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yesterday I talked about the fluorite, which is, it's about chaos, and it helps to calm the chaos. So that's why I have it right over here by me. And I'm going to pass it over here because the Tower card, a lot of people don't want that card. It's like the Death card. Please don't give it to me. Don't let me get that card. So it's about letting the upheaval go ahead and let it happen. Change is just really right here.
Mm-hmm.
And change is good. That's the only thing that's really constant. If we're trying to hang on to something, it isn't yours. If it's yours, it's like one of these in the relationship, it was you shouldn't have to fight for a spot in someone's life. It is either there or it isn't. If the person isn't going to hold your place, you know, when my husband gets up to go to the bathroom, he comes back and says, hey, do you have a reservation here? You know, we do that fun stuff, you know. He says, yes, I have a reservation here. Or he gets up to get water, whatever, you know. It's a fun thing that we do to acknowledge that, yes, I have a place here. Mm-hmm. And yes, you have a place here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're upheaval, all the upheaval going on out there, it's like the being in the chrysalis. We don't know whether we are. We know we're not caterpillar, and we don't quite know what the butterfly is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. So let me ask a question about this.
Yes.
Could this possibly also have something to do with the fact that when someone is like completely in the flow of what they're destined to do?
Yes.
That the fire or the dark shows up,
mm-hmm.
As a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, I generally frame that as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
When that kind of stuff shows up, I go, okay, thanks. I know that I'm doing this, although it can be challenging,
right,
to still stay in that space of flow and a destiny at the same time that you're getting that challenge.
Right.
But for me, it's a marker that I'm in the right flow.
That's good. See, she finds...
See, I like this.
Yeah, I do too.
She mentioned this before.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And I'm glad that you're in jumping in there and interpreting your own card.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I'll shut my mouth then.
Well, I love the juxtaposition because one, the eye is above, you know, the overarching vision, and then it's on the opposite end is the fire,
yes,
so to speak. So,
good.
You have a choice,
right?
You know, of where your focus and energies go. At the same time, for me, this signals, okay, I'm in the right spot.
Yes, very good. Mm-hmm. Which way you want to go? You want to go to Val, or you want to go to me? Which direction?
Val.
Okay, Val. All right. Okay. The Six of Swords.
Six of Swords. The Science.
Science. Okay. That's the analytical card. I call that the resume card.
Ooh.
Because everything that is, all the Six Swords are focusing in on the cross, and the inside of the cross is that Rosicrucian rose opening up to your deeper spirituality. And all of the swords represent different facets of who you are.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Now, what do you get from that?
Well, it's really interesting because I quite often wear several hats because I work on several projects that are so diverse across industry that requires a different type of thinking. And so it's pinpointing the fact that I'm wearing six different hats.
Very good, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
And juggling them very nicely. Thank you very much.
Well, everything is working, knock on wood, I'll knock on your new desk. Everything is working relatively smooth, which is nice.
Yes.
But, you know, it literally is going from one type of thinking, left and right brain sometimes, for each project, and then moving forward, moving through. But also the sense that I'm not letting anybody down.
Very good. Very good. And it's keeping all those plates spinning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Balls in the air, you
yep.
know, and you're able to do that. And you're helping a whole lot of people.
I'm glad about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So I have two cards. I'm going to put my hand over the two cards. This one or this one? Yes. And one card said yes. The other card said no, not yet. It wants to go in the next round.
I was wondering how you were going to choose which card.
Yeah, and I do that quite often. I ask others to do that. Of course, you only have one left, and I didn't mention it before. When you have a choice, you can write it down on a piece of paper, and you put. I usually use the left hand, and I put my hand over the yes, and then I put it over the no. I have several other ways of being the pendulum, you know, to decide whether it's yes
right,
or no.
Right.
Okay, so I did. That's how I do it. The energy in my hand will say, "What does the card say? Yes or no?" Okay, so my card is Major Arcana also. It is the Moon card. It's the number 18 of the Major Arcana. The Moon is, what is the hidden that wants to come forward?
Mm.
Many, go ahead.
We've been waiting for this.
There's something that wants to come. In fact, I had a reading with a lady in Montana on the telephone, and she really pinpointed
that it's definitely lurking.
Awesome.
But you know, it's there. And I explained yesterday is how I'm feeling and writing down what I feel it is so that I can continue to identify what part of the elephant this is. You know, mm-hmm. you're looking for the elephant. And so it's cleaning up any old patterns and on the bottom and then going through the gateway to a higher elevation, a level of whatever it is. So whatever's hidden is getting ready for all of you out there. If you are considering a project, there are parts of it that are still hidden, and maybe sometimes I can help with that when I use my intuition. And you can use your intuition. I just want you to use it. Comments?
Well, what I was thinking about when you were talking is that notion of being in the wilderness.
Yes.
And having been in the wilderness myself personally for a number of years, not now, but previously, and being conscious of being in the wilderness and knowing that the wilderness would serve me, mm-hmm. that it was almost a crucible for emerging into what was to become.
Yes.
And so it feels very much like that. For you, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, and I haven't known you that long, but I think I, you know, have a sense about that with you is that, you know, all of us have this life experience in so many forms and fashions, but I do believe that we all have this moment in our time in our lives when we are in the wilderness. Not all of us are aware that we're in the wilderness. But when you're conscious and bless it for what it is, mm-hmm. And allow it to be, and know that you will emerge, then it can be an extraordinary experience because you know you're on the threshold of something that you couldn't quite have imagined before. So...
Or I had this conversation last night too. Not all people who wander are lost, and the notion of wandering is pointing in a direction because the goal is not to get to point B. The true goal is to experience the journey.
Yes.
So it's that piece that is truly the piece that will identify where you wind up. You point yourself in a direction, but you wander to get there. Mm-hmm. And where you go will be in the vicinity. And that's close enough sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, and see, when I meant the wilderness, I didn't mean being lost.
Right.
And being a backpacker, I love the wilderness.
You're wandering.
Yeah. But that's
it doesn't mean you're lost.
No, it doesn't mean I'm lost at all. It just means that wandering and gathering and wandering and gathering mm-hmm. and wandering and right. And that comfortableness with being in the unknown.
Yes.
You are right there. Yeah. The unknown right. and being comfortable, mm-hmm. not yeah. knowing. Of course, I get a little impatient, a little demanding. Okay, God, let's go. Come on. And God just laughs. Okay, second card for you, KL.
Okay, here we go.
All right, the Ten of Wands, and the card is called Oppression. Underneath is this sparkle, this enthusiasm, this inspiration, and sitting on top of it are two different dorjis, and they're just saying something is sitting on top of your sparkle and not wanting, and it could be thoughts, it could be a person, it could be many people, I don't know what it is, but you know, sitting on top of the sparkle and the vision that you got in that first one. So what do you get out of that?
Ouch.
I'll bring you some wire cutters.
love it.
We shall snip the bars away.
And you can emerge.
Well, I think it's important for the listeners to know that Val and I are in a business partnership and in which I am the visible front person. And when I get the opportunity to present, it is, even for me, electrifying.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know when I'm in that zone and it is hovering in terms of energy. And you can hear a pin drop kind of experience. And so for me, that's one of those moments that doesn't get any better than that.
Ooh.
It's exquisite and extraordinary and planet shifting almost. And at the same time, then I do have a couple things in my life that don't even get it.
Right.
Yeah, they don't bear witness to it. And it's difficult because the pieces that that should be sharing aren't able to at times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always pipe up there and go, I'm bearing witness to greatness. I see. Because you do. And yes. So does the room. So that's where I want you to feel that from, is everybody does see.
Yippee.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
Val, your card.
My card. Love. The Two of Cups.
Yay. All right. The combination then of pulling things together and working with six different projects, people, whatever. And you absolutely love these people.
I do.
And there's an equal love back and forth. And it's not one of these old type loves. It's, you know, like teenagers when you can't get their hands off of each other. It's that kind, only you don't have your hands all over. Maybe you do. I don't know. But you know what I mean? You know, yeah. You have to sit close to the other person.
Yeah.
And you stay tight with the person.
Yeah.
So what
yeah.
do you get out of that?
Well, all sorts of fun things are going through my head.
I love this.
And, you know, the first thing is the relationship that I've had the longest has been with a crusty old parrot that I'm able to lock in a cage. Yeah, 26 years now. However, I do love what I do. And I do love that the people that I meet that cross my paths. And I'm fortunate with my life that I'm able to sift and sort and select the ones that I want to let into my life. And I value and cherish them.
Very good.
So, yeah.
Good. My second card is the Princess of Cups. This is one of the royalty cards, like when you have the King, Queen, Jack. And this is about let go, let God. So whatever's hidden, it's not for me to question. It's just for me to be there and allow it to happen, because the princess is letting go of a lotus. Whatever I think I'm holding on to, an old way of whatever,
uh-huh.
of whatever I've learned from before, I'm letting that go because there's something new coming in. What do you say, Val?
I say that's huge. I say that's change. And I say that we change on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Nothing should be static. And really, truly, if you look at things, nothing is static, mm-hmm. ever.
Everything's dynamic.
Right. But the hardest thing for someone to do who thinks they have dialed in is to let it go.
Right.
Because that which will rebound is what should surface to the top. And there's where you focus.
Right. Let go.
Let go.
And let God. Mm-hmm. Right, because whatever it is, and that's for everyone who's listening out there, KL.
Well, I've come to this conclusion that you never arrive.
Right.
So, I mean, when I meet people that think they have, I kind of go, really? just because it's your life is a continual dynamic evolution. And so, you know, if you can stay conscious in that space and allow the unknown and allow whatever's to emerge, then extraordinary shows up.
I know. If anyone is listening out there and would like to call in and share what they got out of, what you got out of the, what I've given, you could also email that to me, judith@judithconradradio.com. Love to get your feedback. I know we're laughing a lot, and I know it is so fun when you laugh. Why not, you know? Okay, we've got 4 minutes. Didn't that time go fast?
Oh, my goodness.
We just
started.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I really liked the topic that you started out with, because you gave topics, and I was diligently writing notes because there were so many things that I know that we should be touching on. For instance, like you mentioned about somebody holding a grudge.
Yes.
And just holding on to that and not letting go. And I've always referred to that as living rent-free in my head.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, I don't let people live rent-free in my head. I'm sorry, you know, I don't have space.
Right.
No vacancies.
Oh, boy.
So, but that's a really good way to think about that.
Yeah.
If something is eating at you, and you just put this no vacancy sign in your head and go, okay, I'm full.
You know, the whole notion of forgiveness is such, it has so many misconceptions around it in our culture. You could do a whole show, you know, just on forgiveness alone.
Yes.
That would be immensely powerful because when you actually do free your heart from... you know, that into that space of forgiveness, oh my goodness, you know, everything shifts.
I know.
Not just with you or the person that you have been harboring resent or hate or whatever that is, but I think the whole energetic balance of the planet shifts.
And many times with this forgiveness, when you carry it, that and hate and all of this, you know, I think that dis-ease comes in about that time. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you can let it go, it lets the dis-ease go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's just something that says, hello, did you not know that this was going to be showing up in your body or your mental or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's have your contact information if anyone would like to get in touch with you, and why wouldn't they?
KL Wells at networkingpower.net. The phone number is 253-255-6837. Again, that's 253-255-6837.
Website again?
Not yet. I do have a blog, though.
No, the one you just gave. I want that again.
KL Wells at networkingpower.net.
Okay, very good.
Val Stillwell. I ignite projects. I'm a communication strategist. 541-513-7740. Again, that's 541-513-7740. Or you can contact me at Val Stillwell, that's one L in the middle, at gmail.com. That's Val Stillwell at gmail.com.
Perfect. It's been exciting having both of you on the radio program, and thank you, Don and Susanna, for calling in. I really appreciate that. And my contact is Judith at judithconradradio.com. And I'll be back next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 4 to 5. I get so excited when I get to do the radio. You bet. All right. I want to remind each and every one of you out there that who you are makes a difference.
You have been listening to the Good News Radio Program with Judith Conrad. To email Judith Conrad, go to judith@judithconradradio.com.